Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to do just a couple of things before we go to our callers. First is to share a special word of thanks. And secondly, I want to talk to my good friend Carl Amari about what I want to put into your hands this month as my way of saying thank you for your faithful and your prayerful support. But first, the word of thanks. As many of you know, 2013 was a challenging year for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when it came to finances. We had so many people that were requesting the services, the help of the Christian Research Institute that we were, quite frankly, tapped out. And so in December, I shared a goal. I told you precisely how far we were behind, and people stepped up to the plate, were extraordinarily generous, and as a result of that, we met our objective. And so we start, by God's grace, 2014 in the black. So I want to thank you for helping us end 2013 without any red ink. And also, I want to thank you for your continued partnership. I am truly grateful for you because without you, we could not do what we do. So again, I am personally appealing to you this year to renew your support for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, without your support, our voice would, well, fall silent. Also, after thinking long and hard and praying about what to send you this month as my way of saying thank you for your renewed support, I felt led of the Holy Spirit to send you something both unique and I think this is the operative word, transformational. It's simply titled Five Books of John, and it's produced with state-of-the-art audio technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But from John's opening brilliance, in the beginning was the Word, to his closing benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Five books of John provide you with a majestic tapestry of the whole of redemptive history. And to help you understand each of the five books of John even better, I personally voiced compelling introductions to each of John's five books. And I make no more certain promise than this. If you listen to the five books of John over and over again, it will be transformational in 2014. The producer, the director, the person whose brain thrust all of this came through is, as I mentioned, a very good friend, Carl Amari. He's an actor, he's a director, he's a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ, and I just appreciate everything that he's done in putting this product together. Many of you will remember the entirety of this project was enormous, both with respect to the Old and New Testament, but this is a unique rendering which Carl Amari allowed us to put together and which we are now offering to you to start your 2014 in a way such as none other. And Carl Amari joins us now. It's always good to have you on the broadcast, Carl.
Hi, Hank. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
This was your brainchild. Tell me about it.
Well, I happen to be very good friends with Jim Caviezel, who starred in a movie I think we all have seen, Passion of the Christ. And I was happened to be on the set visiting with Jim when he was making that movie in Rome. And I just was so completely taken in about this movie and Mel Gibson's vision for it and Jim's portrayal of Jesus in the last hours of his life. And I said to myself, you know, I've listened to audio Bibles in the past, and there's never been one that was dramatized with wonderful actors. They're generally just one reader. And I just, it just hit me. I mean, I think it was just God working through me, and I feel like, you know, it's his glory, all his glory, but he helped me to convince Jim to star as Jesus in an audio Bible, his voice, as opposed to, you know, speaking in the Aramaic language he was speaking in. It's in English, obviously. And he plays Jesus in this full drama of the Bible called The Word of Promise.
I was listening to it in the car, Five Books of John, which I'm so excited about. We so often hear about the five books of Moses, but the five books of John, I think perhaps the most majestic linguistic tapestry I've ever tapped into. And to hear them all together from the beloved disciple, replete with the sound effects and the voices of actors who really know the art of drama, the pregnant pause, the ability to communicate this in spellbinding fashion, I think is significant.
Right. I mean, you know, you said I couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's when you get actors like this, Academy Award winning type actors like the Richard Dreyfuss of the world and the Lou Gossett Juniors, you know, and Lou Gossett is John on this, and you hear Jim as Jesus, and you hear Michael York narrating, and you hear sound effects that are all created, and the music created for each scene like a movie. It brings it to life. And so when we got together, you and I, and talked about, and Paul Young, and we talked about the five books of John, I got very excited because it is such important books of the Bible. And to have them all with your introductions, which really add so much clarity to what's going on when, you know, you hear you explaining it and then the five books of John, it really is an incredible blessing.
Carl, talk for a moment about the whole issue of being there, as it were, on scene. When you're listening to it, as I was in the car today, that's the sense I got. I was there as John was showing the way for Christ.
You know, it was my intention, and I thank you so much. And it was, you know, when we got together with the theologians and the director, Joe Bicerni, it was pretty apparent to me, you know, we go to church every Sunday and, you know, or more than that during the week. And we listen to, you know, the words of our God. And it's through people that are saying it now. But what about if we could hear them say it back then? So our mantra and our mission was to put these actors in the setting with the theologians that were on the phone or in the studio with the actors and explain who they were. So with, let's say, an actor like, you know, John Rhys-Davies, you know, playing the part of, or Solomon or whoever it was. And we said, this is what you're all about. This is what you were doing at this time. This is what was going around you. And this is what this means. So it's quite different when you have an award-winning actor that is put in the situation and can deliver those lines as if they were said the very first time.
As always, I appreciate your work and your contribution to the body of Christ. I think this is one of the most outstanding products ever developed, and we're deeply grateful to you and look forward to putting this into the hands of many, many people.
I thank you, Hank, very, very much. It's such a pleasure to work with you. And hello, everyone out there listening to the Bible Answer Man show. Thank you so much.
And there you have it, Carl Amari. He's an actor. He's a director. He's a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ. I love Carl, And I love what he's put together, and I'm very grateful that he's allowed us to put together this very unique CRI project. This is something I had a passion for doing. Again, the contrast to the five books of Moses in the Old Testament. The five books of John are absolutely riveting. And you're hearing the life of Christ, and in fact, you're hearing an overview of all of biblical history in compressed fashion. Four CDs, again, available to the people who are listening in right now, those who are supporting the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift. Just delighted to send you the Word of Promise, Five Books of John audio Bible. At some point in time, we'll give you some hint of what this sounds like, but this is an absolutely extraordinary resource, and again, delighted to have put this together. It's the Christian Research Institute edition. You'll find it nowhere else, and you can get your copy by simply going to the web at equip.org or writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. First up today, Adrian, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, NRB Television. Hi, Adrian.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I got a question. I wanted to know what is the evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within a person? Is the only evidence speaking in tongues?
Well, no. In fact, there are many evidences. The first evidence that we see in the Scripture is that they witnessed. And witnessing is something that we do not do by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, because no matter how eloquent you are, you cannot change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But all of those who realize that they are sinners, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are, by definition, indwelt by the Spirit. Now, having said indwelt, we must quickly add that it is also important for us to be infilled by the Spirit. And there's a distinction there. It's not a distinction without a difference. It's a distinction with a substantive difference. If you're a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But you want to be continually infilled, which is a way of saying empowered for service, which is the way in which you do what you do, not by might or by power, but rather by the Spirit Himself. And I think there's an attendant issue that we should press forward on, and that is that those who are indwelt by the Spirit must recognize that as you walk through the tangled web of human existence, you're walking not alone, but you're walking with another person. And that person has a strong personality. That person wants you to be conformed to his person as opposed to his person being conformed to you, which could never happen because he is divine. But we so often are not attentive to the indwelling Spirit. And as a result of that, we're not being conformed to his image. We're not becoming more and more like him. But I think being attentive to the Holy Spirit is transcendently important. He's not an it. He's not a force. He is a person. And we relate to that person. He is the comforter that Jesus Christ promised us.
Okay, so how does speaking in tongues relate to the Holy Spirit?
Well, I don't think it directly does, which is to say that if you speak in tongues, you're speaking another language and you're empowered to do that by the Spirit. But I would say that the notion of speaking in tongues is not normative, which is to say that it was a special gift given at a special time. And while I would not say that that gift could not be exercised today, I don't think that the gift is normative in its exercise today. it was used for a particular purpose and in general was the antidote to what happened at the Tower of Babel, where languages were confused. Speaking in another language now is a gift God can give you, but again, it's not a normative gift. And even the Pentecostals after the Azusa Street revival that went to other countries to try to speak in tongues that they had not learned recognized very quickly that that was not a normative gift and had to come back to learn the language in order to be an effective missionary in another culture.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank. I really enjoy your program, and you have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much for your call, and we are coming up to a station break again. My thanks to those who helped us finish the year 2013 in the black, and my prayer that you will continue to faithfully support this ministry in the coming year. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. Our research staff couldn't do what they do. The ministry simply could not function. And again, it's my way of saying thank you. The Word of Promise, 5 books of John. It's the audio Bible starring an award-winning cast of actors, actresses, sound effects, dramatization. It is absolutely stunning. I'm listening to it in my car every single day, and we'll listen to it over and over again this month. I hope you join me. Be right back.
This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to draw you closer to our risen Lord this new year. Called the 5 Books of John, this state-of-the-art dramatic audio theater presentation gives you a glimpse of the life and teachings of Jesus through the eyes of his most beloved disciple. So please, request your 4-CD set of the 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled 5 Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. 5 Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. 5 Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for 1/3 of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost 2/3 of what is now a $550 million industry. Learn how to engage with loved ones absorbed in manga with biblical truth. Other topics include what to say when your gay friend says, "I was born this way," Rendezvous with Death, C.S. Lewis on mortality and the afterlife, Breaking Bad's addicting defense of moral realism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's 5 books to help you understand them even better. 5 Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Jim Caviezel, Louis Gossett Jr., Kimberly Williams Paisley. These are some of the all-star actors who lend their voices to the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This unique and transformational resource will encourage and inspire you to draw closer to the Lord in 2014. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4 CD set of the 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is David in Memphis, Tennessee, listening on WCRV. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. I've got a question about the terms grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Is that a simile, or is there a distinction between the two words?
Well, I think there's a distinction between the two words. Grace, often known by the acronym God's Riches at Christ's Expense, might be tantamount in terms of definition to getting what you don't deserve. In other words, it is a way of speaking about God's unmerited favor. Mercy, on the other hand, is not getting what you deserve. So the one is getting what you don't deserve, the other is not getting what you deserve. In other words, it is the compassionate forbearance of God.
Right. Okay, Hank, I sure appreciate that. That makes my reading the Bible a lot more clear.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. We'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to John. He's listening in Long Island, New York on the web. Hi, John.
Hey, Happy New Year, Hank.
Happy New Year to you.
My question for you is regarding the Old Testament. What made the people of the Old Testament recognize that the books of the Old Testament were inspired by God? Was there a certain bloodline, a certain office, I guess, status that they needed? Was there miracles that that really opened their eyes? I just want to kind of know how they knew that these books were inspired and that they had the right books in the canon.
Yeah, by the way, there's no question about the canonicity of the Old Testament because Jesus put his imprimatur on the law in the prophets. But the same principles that we talk about with respect to the New Testament apply to the Old Testament, which is to say that the canon was determined by God and only discovered by human beings. So there was acceptance in terms of the people of God, the children of Israel, with respect to the books. There was prophetic authority that was taken into consideration because true prophets were spokesmen for God, and therefore their writings met the requirements for canonicity. And those requirements are found in Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18. There's also the principle of perspicuity, which is to say that the books are clear and consistent, not only within themselves, but within the rest of the canon, or the books determined to be by God, the canon of Scripture, and discovered by men on the basis of these principles. You also find pronouncement as a quality of canonicity. For example, if you read Samuel, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, his word was on my tongue." And so Samuel was considered to be a true prophet of God. By the way, you would never find Hananiah as an Old Testament canonical book because Hananiah's prophecies not only led away from the God of Israel, but his prophecies were proven false. And of course, he was called out directly, I think it was Jeremiah 23, by Jeremiah himself. So the basic principles of canonicity that apply to the New Testament likewise apply to the Old Testament. And with the coming of Christ, the imprimatur, or the stamp of approval, was placed on these books by our Lord himself.
Gotcha. Now, when Jesus said from the from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, was he confirming, I guess you say, the Old Testament canon from Genesis all the way up to 2 Chronicles, or was that a different Zechariah?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I've written about that. It's a there's a double entendre going on there. And so if you want a more full explanation of that, I'd be happy to give it to you. I've thought through this with a lot of detail, and if you hang on, I'd be happy to send you the information.
Definitely.
But I do think that they form literary bookends. Want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Bobby in Toledo, Washington. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a question about angels and demons. Being that both of them are spiritual entities with no DNA makeup, I was wondering how angels, particularly in the Old Testament, could be manifested in visible, tangible ways that were seen by men, particularly in the case of the two angels who came down to Sodom and Gomorrah. They appeared as two men, and I was wondering... If that's the case, if angels can appear, can demons manifest the same way?
Yeah.
Being that neither one of them have fleshly makeup.
Yeah, a good question. And I would say the answer is that there is a distinction, and that distinction is that God has creative prowess. Demons do not, nor does the devil. So God, in miraculous ways, can do things. God can take on form. In the example that you gave, the two angels appeared with the Lord on the plains of Mamre, first to Abraham, and the Lord took on physical form, though God is spirit, and therefore does not have flesh and bone. But yet, God can take on a temporary appearance, as he did. And in the Old Testament, we call that a theophany. By the way, the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ in the Old Testament as the angel of Yahweh are called Christophanies. They're also angelophanies. So God, by his creative prowess, can give an angel temporary form. But the devil does not have creative prowess.
Okay, that makes really good sense.
Well, appreciate your call.
All right, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Daniel, Brooklyn, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have my son in my hand. I have you on speaker. Can you hear me pretty well?
Sure, yeah.
All right, great. I do want to say, if I may, the promotion that you're doing this month, I actually bought the complete set for my 104-year-old grandmother.
Mm.
Who can't see very well, and she loves this CD. So I would say for the listeners, this is a very great product. I don't think you would be wasting your money at all, and I think you guys are doing great work, so I'm glad to hear that you are back in the black again.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm holding my three-month-year-old son in my hand, and we're planning on having a baby dedication for him next week, actually this Sunday. And I wanted to know, where can I find in the Bible biblical precedent for baby dedication? Maybe an example or two. I'm pretty sure I would find it in the Old Testament. Could you help me out with that?
Sure. I mean, I think the most dominant example would be Hananiah dedicating Samuel to the Lord. I think that is an absolutely powerful and persuasive argument. Of course, what we do must be done not in isolation. You're doing it as a living stone in the temple of God. So we're not Lone Ranger Christians. You're doing this within the context of the body of Christ. And so dedicating your child to the Lord is done in the assembly of believers so that they too have a responsibility, as you do from the perspective of parent, have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to help nurture that child in the fear and knowledge of the Lord as a congregation as well.
Okay. Where I'm not familiar with that story. Where would I find that story in the Bible?
It's 1 Samuel chapter 2.
First Samuel chapter 2, okay.
Yep.
I also must be, I wanted to start the legacy plan, so I'd have to start all the way from Genesis. So hopefully I can stick with it this time. Last year I fell off, so, you know, new year, new beginning. So.
Yeah. And yeah, actually, this whole idea of the five books of John is part of the legacy plan when you think about it, because we try to read authors in totality, because John's fingerprints are all over. Not only his gospel, but his epistles and the book of Revelation. And so when you read them together, things make sense to you that perhaps never made sense to you before. John, I can't emphasize how absolutely exquisite his linguistic tapestry is, and to hear it in dramatic audio theater, to hear it with Academy Award-winning actors, with the dramatization, the sound effects, it is just stirring and striking. And again, I'm having just a ball listening to it in the car. It feels like you're on location, as it were. And again, available to all our listeners for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Derek in St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on the web. Hi, Derek.
How you doing, Hank? I was just calling because I was actually doing some studying and wanted to get some information on Mr. Charles Fillmore and his unity movement, as well as the relevance of metaphysical study.
Yeah. Well, New Thought metaphysical practitioners are oftentimes communicating something that you find repackaged for Christian consumption as well. But unfortunately, it is the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. When you look at Charles Fillmore and the Unity School of Christianity, their position is that sin and disease and poverty and disharmony and death are all unreal. They are a source of all that is negative, and what is negative happens to be a function of attitude. And therefore, when you change your attitude, you change your thoughts, you can change reality. And of course, that's been repackaged in the Word of Faith movements within Christianity as a way of saying that words create reality. So words are a container of the force, and through the force of faith, one can change their own reality. They also, going back to Unity School of Christianity, they also contend that we eternally emanate from the impersonal mind of God, as though God is impersonal, and then go on to assert that we are one with God in our true nature. Of course, we can be one with God, we can be partakers of the divine nature, but we are not one with God in the Godhead. We are not ontologically what God is. We are not by nature or essence what God is. They also believe in reincarnation, whereas Christians believe in resurrection. So they believe that the soul continually returns, that soul returns in other bodies. So they have a lot of views that are diametrically opposed to the biblical worldview, the worldview that you find in Christianity. We have information that you can find in the Unity School of Christianity on the World Wide Web. I've also written about it, incidentally, as I think about it, in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And in the first full week of this year, I don't want to neglect mentioning the Christian Research Journal, award-winning magazine. We have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal out right now, and new ones on the horizon. You can subscribe online at equip.org. Again, on the World Wide Web, equip.org. Subscribe to our award-winning magazine, No Christian Home Should Be Without It. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the first full week of a brand new year, 2014. Be right back.
To help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, we want to send you the unique and transformational Five Books of John audio presentation. utilizing all-star acting talent to present the life and teachings of Jesus through the words of his most beloved disciple, this resource will draw you closer to our risen Lord. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final "Amen," the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's 5 books to help you understand them even better. 5 Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Through his depiction of death and of something after death, C.S. Lewis has engaged generations of readers at profound levels of mind and soul. The millions of people who have read the 7 Narnia Chronicles have received from Lewis's pen a way of thinking about these things that is well worth considering. Other topics include Allah, the Trinity, and divine love, worldviews, thinking, and living, the most important institution in the world, and the folly of bumper sticker theology, gross national cool, manga as theological reflection, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled 5 Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. 5 Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. 5 Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. In 5 Books of John, an all-star list of actors present the writings of the Apostle John, the most beloved disciple of Jesus, like you've never heard them before. This state-of-the-art dramatic audio presentation will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, and it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Shelley, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Nice talking to you.
Can you tell me anything about hell? Is it true that we are... our body is a physical thing, and the what makes us walk or talk and think is that if you are not a Christian and you've done harmful things and not really repented of it and quit it, when you go to hell, are you going to be eternally tortured by the devil, or do you just go into the lake of fire and disappear.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's important to recognize that Jesus said, do not be amazed at this, that all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. In saying that, he pointed out that resurrection is for everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. Some are resurrected to eternal conscious torment. I didn't say torture, I said torment. And others to a relationship with God forever in the new heavens and the new earth. So there's a separation of the sheep and the goats, to use the terminology of our Lord while he was on this earth. But there's nothing in the Bible whatsoever to suggest that we're going to be, as an unbeliever, tormented or tortured by Satan and his minions. That is an idea that is decidedly unbiblical. They themselves will suffer the torment of eternal conscious existence apart from the goodness and grace of God. So hell was made for the devil and his angels, and they certainly are not the gatekeepers there or the tormentors there. I think we need to recognize is that God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, even if they have decided to live a life apart from him. He continues to sustain them in existence. But again, it is apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace. And that is the torment that is described by the various metaphors in the Bible. A horrendous thing to be given over to your own lusts, to be given over to what ultimately is an inability to relate to the very one that we were designed to have a relationship with, not only in time, but certainly for all eternity.
Okay. Now, can you tell me, what is a witch and how do they get their powers?
Well, you know, there's a distinction between a witch and a Satanist, and I think so often there's a confusion between the two. Witches do not even believe, by and large, in demonic beings. So it's important that we understand the difference between a witch and a Satanist. A Satanist certainly, by and large, again, in general, believes in Satan, but witches do not. So they worship Gaia. They worship the earth. And wouldn't ever think about violating God's good creation. That is their choice is not to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Hank.
You are welcome.
I've been listening to you for years. I think I'm going to call now and get the Book of John so that I'll have it. I think that'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's the five books of John, actually, Shelley, and that includes not only the Gospel of John, but the three epistles and the Book of Revelation, and it is absolutely transformational.
Okay, well, thank you. You're my hero.
Well, bless you. Let me say just a couple of more things about witchcraft, or Wicca. It's known as the craft or the old religion, and it holds that all reality is divine, and therefore Wiccans revere the natural world as something that is living, something that is breathing, and they revere people oftentimes as gods and goddesses. It's a distinctively feminist form of neo-paganism, and often considers the supreme manifestation of deity to be a nature goddess. Of course, in sharp contrast to the biblical worldview, Wiccans worship creation as opposed to worshiping the Creator. Wiccans practice magic, and in an attempt to manipulate the natural world and alter mental and material conditions, they conjure. And therefore, Wicca is an esoteric occult practice designed to manipulate reality in concert with the Wiccan's will. There are a lot of different tools that they use. But again, there's a sharp distinction between this and Satanism. And I write about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John in Kansas City, Missouri. John is listening on Butt Radio as well. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
I was curious. A friend and I were having a discussion when Jesus was talking about the mustard seed being the smallest of seeds. And anyway, I didn't know if he was, talking locally or geographically. And I just wanted to know if he could expound on that. And because obviously, if Jesus, he was God, so he would have obviously know which one was the smallest one. But I think there's smaller ones, actually, too.
Sure, orchid seeds are smaller, but they wouldn't fit the metaphor, and we shouldn't try to take a parable and make the parable walk on all fours. Jesus was talking about the smallest seed known to a Palestinian farmer that would become a large tree, as it were, that birds could nest in its branches as a way of communicating that the kingdom would start small and then grow very, very large. So the metaphor works in terms of the point that he was communicating. The orchid seed, by the way, wouldn't work very well. So he was talking about the smallest seed within the context of his metaphor.
David, that's what I thought. I mean, I figured he was talking, you know, geographically or locally, so I didn't, I didn't think he was wrong, but I wanted to be able to explain it to my...
I think that it's also important to recognize that not only was he not wrong about this, but the metaphor, we can't try to take metaphors and make them walk on all fours. And parables are, for all practical purposes, extended similes or extended metaphors. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's using the mustard seed as a way of explaining something that his audience is familiar with. It starts small and becomes very, very large. Again, birds nest in its branches, and he uses that as the metaphor for the kingdom. The orchid seed wouldn't work in the metaphor. So it's not only something that the Palestinians or a Palestinian farmer would be familiar with, or his audience would be familiar with, but it's something that fits the metaphor much better than an orchid seed would do. And the problem is just as there are fundamentalists on the right, there are fundamentalists on the left, and they want to take the language of a metaphor and make it walk on all fours. So if they're watching a football game and someone said that, Calvin Johnson climbed a ladder to catch the ball, that they want that to mean that actually on the football field, Calvin Johnson pulled out a ladder and he climbed up the ladder and he caught the ball way up high in the air. It's just a way of saying he jumped really high and came down with a football that was thrown a tad bit high. So you can't take metaphors, figures of speech, and extended similes and try to make them walk on all fours.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You got it. Nice talking to you. I've written about this, by the way. I use that as an example. There's a guy named Bart Ehrman, a fundamentalist from the left, if ever there was one, who's the chair of the Religious Studies Department, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who does this ad nauseum, ad infinitum with the Bible. He tries to take metaphors and make them walk on all fours. So if I said it was raining cats and dogs, I suppose he would think that unless cats and dogs were really falling out of the sky, I was desperately mistaken or wrong. Probably give me an F on my paper. But this is just a really bad way of dealing with literature in general, certainly dealing with the Bible and its metaphors. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tony in Tucson, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Tony.
Hello. How are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. I have two questions, if I hopefully have the time. I remember you speaking to the previous caller in regards to the angels not being able to have creative... What was that, solace? Or?
No, they don't have creative prowess. In other words, the demons are not... And certainly angels, for that matter, are not by their own prerogative able to create bodies. But God, by his own divine prerogative, can allow an angel to take on temporary form, and that in the Old Testament is known as an angelophany.
Okay, I got you now. But now the question that came up was, what about the angels that left their first estate? How were they able to take human form and merge with the women?
Well, there's no evidence that that happened at all, and that is a misreading or a unnatural imposition, first and foremost on Genesis chapter 6, and then by extension on Jude, using the language that you just used. But the idea that the sons of God went into the daughters of men, that is a way of saying that fallen angels had sex with women, again, is a clear imposition on the text. And it comes from not understanding that words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So every time you read the word God in the Bible, you can't assume that we're talking about God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. Moses is said to be a God unto the people. In Psalm chapter 22, the representatives to the children of Israel were called gods. Satan is called the god of this world. So God takes on the meaning that the context allows it to have. In similar fashion, when you read the sons of God, to assume that because in a context such as Job, refers to angels, that now it has to refer to demonic beings having sex with women, simply is an interjection of pagan mythology on the Scripture. It's a very bad way to read Scripture. So I've talked about this last year. It's very important to demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but it's also important to answer an attendant question. If God has spoken, what has God said? That means learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. Written about that in my book, Has God Spoken Again? Stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number to dial right now and for the next hour to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, I'll be answering questions for another hour once we go off the air. The number that you can dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final "Amen," the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for one-third of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost two-thirds of what is now a $550 million industry. Learn how to engage with loved ones absorbed in manga with biblical truth. Other topics include what to say when your gay friend says, "I was born this way," Rendezvous with Death, C.S. Lewis on mortality and the afterlife, Breaking Bad's addicting defense of moral realism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.